Blog Talk Radio.
Shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports and Death.
And if I may say that the sports in-depth nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good Doc.
You get to thinking that maybe, just maybe, the weatherman should get in contact with us here at Sports in Depth and let him ask someone to do a show because the weather is always great these days. Another great day here in the Big Apple, Nova York here. No more stars, no more stars, dark than a moon. South News, Mexico. Ice, no more, the glass reveals. And Mundo Sadaj and Mikorazon, Blazer and Conversa, antes con mi ma and amigo, Professor Williams, Cheesecake, Cajon. Doc Stanley, Sports in the Block of Radio, on Trust and Government Network. It is a Thursday before Veterans Day. Wow. My country, Sicily, sweet land of liberty, may I sing. Land where the pilgrims cry, land where, hey, song of the kid. Just take you in the United States Air Force, probably. Air Force of the Playboys of the military. I like that. Transit cops of the Marines of the police department. Kind of like that. Best police department ever existed. Air Force came out of the Army, but, you know, like I said, man, praise to God, the work today is great, weather. And we also want a prayer. And then we will go to Sam Cooke leading us in song. Greatest male gospel singer of all time, one of the greatest gospel singers, maybe the greatest gospel singer of all time. You talk about Shirley Caesar, Aretha, well, okay, female, you got it donated to Mary Jackson. You know, you gotta do that. So we'll say Sam's greatest male. Should be no problem with that, right? Well, Michael Bellamy says, just before we go into prayer, Mr. Bellamy, tell him where we're at today.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's time to pray. You know, wait a second, I can't pull one up off of here. You see, I can pull one up off of here that they send to me. Coaching. Let's try that. Because that's my WhatsApp. to me, a great prayer sent to me. Let me see if I can get one from my sister Holy Book. She sent me so many great prayers. Let's see. Indian prayer. Oh, great spirit, the voice I hear in the wind, whose breath gives life to all the world. Hear me. I am small and weak. I need your strength and wisdom. Let me walk in you and make my eyes ever behold the red and purple sunset. Make my hands respect the things you have made, my ears sharp to hear your voice. Make me wise that I may understand the things you have taught my people. Let me learn the lessons you have hidden, maybe lead from rock. I seek strength not to be greater than my brother, but to fight my greatest enemy, myself, the change of laws. Make me always ready to come to you with clean hands and straight eyes. So when life fades, as the fading sunset, my spirit may come to you without sin. Love being said, Doc Stanley is posting that blast at radio on the Christian God Radio Network. My unfortunate said that to me. And unfortunate says something to me, I always remember the English see the men. He's right. He looks in the mirror, he sees one of them. He says something to me that among the many things he said to me, but he said something that just he said, Doc, you know, if the Pope say it, the Dalai Lama said, don't say a lot unless you say it. That's he died. And now I put 100%. And the closing parts of this prayer, make me wise so that I may understand the things you have taught my people. Let me learn the lessons you have hidden underneath the rock. Make me always ready to come to you with clean hands and straight eyes. Learn me the lessons you have hidden and maybe some rock. Make me so wise and some people, and then I seek strength not to be greater than my brother, in fact, my greatest enemy, myself. So life fades as a fading sunset. May my spirit come to you without sin. In Jesus' name. I kind of get that. Dedicate this to my mother. My grandmother was a full-blooded Cherokee Indian, and my great-grandfather was a full-blooded Black Sox. Top students posting at Black Sox Radio and Christian Driver Network. Thank you, Lord, for thank you so large to take for granted. She was on our feet, goals on our back, put on our table, and for paying the debt that wasn't made on a cross long ago, Calvary. In Jesus' name, the Lord. Amen. Mike, one more time.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
And now, one of the greatest gospel songs by one of the greatest gospel singers, male wise the greatest, Sam Cooke, Clutch, and him of his
country. Oh, there was a woman in the Bible days. She had been sick so very long. But she heard my Jesus was passing by, so she joined the gathering throng. And while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, what are you trying to do? She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. She cried, oh, she had no more to spare. The doctors, they done all they could, but their medicine would do no good. When she touched him, the Savior didn't see, but still he turned around and cried, somebody touch me. She said, it was I who just wanna touch the hem of your garment. I know I'll be made whole right now. She stood there crying, oh, 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 and oh, 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 Lord, and oh, 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 said if I could just touch the hem of your garment, I know I'll be made whole right now.
And we lost little Petey, jumped on for a second and jumped right back off. Hope he comes back. I was trying to get some opening music for him. But, okay, well, maybe he'll get back. This show is dedicated to my mother, Mrs. Pauline Vivian Howard Stanley. 10 months now since Mommy punched her ticket to glory. And 5 days prior is, I got to put Mila in here too, my beloved granddaughter, who came down from heaven. Mommy went on up. I got my ticket to glory. That was her line. And Mommy made sure we all were heading toward that same booth to get ours. We salute to the show, Dusty Baker, oldest man to win a World Series, first man to win Manager of the Year. In his first year as manager, the only man to lead 5 different teams into the playoffs. Okay. The 4th member of the only team to have 4 men hit 30 or more home runs in one season. The Dodgers hit over J.R. Richards, too. One of the great right-handed pitchers that people talk about of all time. Dusty also was the man who brought about the high five. As the humble Dusty always tries to do, gives credit to somebody else. And he came in, and he had hit. In fact, it was becoming momentous because he had just hit the 30th home run to make the Dodgers. Reggie Smith in right field, Dusty in left field, in front of him, the Penguin. Nance at third base and at first base. Steve Garb is a Hall of Famer, okay? No question about it. It had to be a wonderful time, you know, from California boy, playing for the Dodgers, win number 12, the Dodgers, number of his idol, Tommy Davis, you know, can't beat that, man. L.A., and you're playing your games, and the Giants and the Dodgers are out there in that kind of weather. I think Peter's going to come with us there, so let me get it ready and get some money, some music here so we can get Pete. And here it is. It is ready, baby. Here it is. Pete. I know you're going to talk boxing. I can hold you. So come on, Pete. Bring us the questions and we'll get to the answers. Pete?
Hello, Doc. How you doing?
Okay. Come on, Pete.
All right. So, Doc, I just did a quick biography on Rocky Marciano, okay? And I will tell you this, okay? Rocky Marciano, okay, in my opinion, not a great fighter, but good fighter, you know? Pretty good fighter.
Very good, very good.
Good guys.
Okay, let's
out of the prime.
Let's say, okay, but let's say for what he accomplished, let's make that very good. Is that good enough? Are you satisfied with that? Very good. Okay?
Okay. Yeah. So, all right. So, according to this biography that I've been writing, all right, after doing various research on Rocky Marciano, he defeated Jersey Joe Walcott for the heavyweight title of the world once, beat Ezra Charles twice, beat Archie Moore, and beat Joe Louis. Those were the old guys that he beat. Now, he beat some other guys. His first 17 to 18 bouts were not as good. He fought guys that were not well known in that era. However, he did come victorious. So, Rocky, I see, is not a great fighter, but he's a good fighter.
Everybody starts out. You know, everybody doesn't fight great quality. I mean, you're starting out, you're 4 rounds, you're 6 rounds, and said, okay, that's not his fault, but he won. But he won. Go ahead, Pete.
So, anyways, now, ahead from Rocky Marciano, I do want to discuss Joe Louis's career and pay tribute to Joe Louis right here on the show.
Okay.
So Joe Louis, all right, so I did a little research on Joe Louis, and I remember Joe Louis and now only 3 losses in his entire career, 69 wins, 25 consecutive title defenses, making him one of the greatest heavyweights to ever do this. Now, Joe Louis, I was watching Joe Louis versus Jersey Joe Walcott, too. One of the greatest fights I'll ever see in my career. And I also saw Joe Louis knock out Jimmy Braddock in the 8th round, as well as fighting some other various opponents. And I think Joe Louis is a very, very, very great fighter. Not good, great.
Some things, let's go back. Joe Louis lost 3 fights, but he never lost a fight as a champion. He lost a fight to... He lost 2 fights and he came back from China. He lost to Charles and he lost to Marciano. He lost to Max Smelling before he became champion.
Yep.
So at no time did he ever lose as a champion. 25 title defenses,
yeah.
Won them all.
Uh-huh.
His real name was Joseph Louis Barrows, but he dropped the Barrows so his family wouldn't know he was fighting. To get the title fight for Braddock, he had to give up 10% of what he would make for the next 10 years, which people thought was kind of ludicrous. That would probably be his whole career. Nobody fought 10 years. You know, Braddock didn't stop for this. But he got to go to his buddies. And all the old timers, whether they're black or white, green or yellow, from Mars, Catholic, Jewish, Protestant, Baptist, all the old timers, the three guys that they defend and they care about. Joe Louis, Joe DiMaggio, and Sugar Ray Robinson. And I was blessed by God with all those things come from him to meet Joe Louis. And what an honor it was to sit there and give him a kiss, the great Joe Louis. And you're right. And a lot of people still, the old timers think he's the greatest heavyweight of all time. But without question, he's in the top three. Without question, I say the top three greatest heavyweights of all time, Ali, Tyson, Joe Louis. And I stand on that.
Three best heavyweights to ever do it, Doc. Three best heavyweights to ever do the boxing ring. And, you know, Doc, here's what I say, okay? The bet now, in my opinion, Doc, you're not going to find better middleweights than the five kings, okay? And when I say five, I think Iran Barkley deserves his credit to be in that group, okay? However,
you know what?
Durant, Hearns.
Great. Well, I mean, listen. Yo, Barkley's a guy that's kind of unforgotten. Because Barkley beat Tommy Hearns twice. He outboxed Tommy Hearns and knocked out Tommy Hearns. I think he would have given Marvin Hagler. I think he could have beat Hagler. You know, they were going to support him that boxing really quickly. They were going to give him a shoot. I guess he came out. You know, take a time out to say, this young man here, Luke Pete, my nephew, love him immensely. Just a tremendous young man. It's always good to have him on the show.
Yeah.
And he's his family. Say late birthday, which is his beloved mother. I hope his dad hasn't been a little cold. I hope he gets better. But this is a special young man. And he's loving him immensely. Clark Pete, thanks a lot, man. Clark Pete,
sure.
I get my name, Luke.
Anyway,
right
Doc,
now,
I wanted
to.
Yeah.
Hey, Pete, how tall are you now?
So, Doc, I'm about 6 foot.
Okay, now, how tall are you? So, we went down to Vision Gym. He picked up the heavy bag. That fight is it. The long, heavy bag, like nothing. So we think about getting Luke Pete and the box here.
So, Doc, I did want to touch base with you and also pay tribute to another great boxer of the heavyweight division of Ernie Shavers. Now, I was watching Ernie Shavers fight some go toe-to-toe with some great boxers, especially, you know, Muhammad Ali, Jerry Corey, great boxers of his era. And this is what makes the heavyweight era so much more greater than what it is today, because all of the fighters ended up fighting each other. You had Floyd Patterson go to distance twice with Muhammad Ali. You had, you know, I stand by this, Doc, and I will say this. I stand by this point. Muhammad Ali is the best heavyweight. And when I say heavyweight, not the best boxer, the best heavyweight to ever do it. However, Sugar Ray Robinson.
Ali says that, you know, and Marion Boykin son of Sugar Ray Robinson is like this. Sugar Ray Robinson was Muhammad Ali with a punch. Okay, now, you're talking about Shavers. Shavers, the last fight that Muhammad Ali had in Madison Square Garden was against Ernie Shavers. It was a unique thing because they were going to each round on television give you who won the round. And I remember Shavers said he took it easy in the last couple of rounds because he thought it was ahead. And then Dunny said all he had to do was have somebody put the TV and tell him he was behind. But the last fight that Ali won defending his title in Madison Square Garden, his last defense in Madison Square Garden, was with Ernie Shavers, great fighter. Maybe not a great heavyweight in the sense of punching power. You know, so in the vein of Foreman, him, Dempsey, Liston, you know, a guy that could just hit you with one punch and start you.
Another guy that I would say was, listen, this guy, right, I remember the fight. I was watching Ron Lyle versus George Foreman. And when I tell you, many knockouts during that fight. Ron Lyle, okay, is a forgotten heavyweight that was very, 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 Doc, you're going to disagree with me on this. I call Ron Lyle a great heavyweight for his career contributions. I think he did pretty well.
Okay, no. As a heavyweight, yes. Talent and stuff. Okay, we're talking about career extensively. A heavyweight, yes. Yes, yeah. I mean, and he fits in that era where you had so many great heavyweights per se, not heavyweight fighters, champions. But you look at that era. And let's take Ali from that. Listen, Ali, Zoe Foley, Patterson, Ingemar Johansson, who Patterson got the title back from. Then there's Zoe Foley, there's Tony Terrell, Joe Frazier. Mm-hmm. You keep moving. Jimmy Ellis, who was the fighter that I saw Shavers beat. In the fight, Jimmy Ellis against Lee Shavers, the first time I saw him live, and met my longtime friend Don King. But you move on, there's Corey, mentioned Jimmy Young. Now there's Ernie Shavers, there's Norton, there's Weaver.
Oh, yeah.
So you look at
Larry Holmes, Demon Doc, even though Larry Holmes wasn't part of that, Larry Holmes was a great heavyweight.
Larry Holmes was, yes, a great heavyweight and a great fighter.
But I don't buy the notion. Who did Larry beat? Let me ask you a question. Did Larry does not have the resume that Muhammad Ali or Kenny Norton
No.
any of these guys have.
So while Larry is great, you
don't have the resume.
The point that you've made here, Pete, is so on the money because you so often hear this stuff about how underrated Larry was. I'm saying, well, what great fighter did Larry beat? Not to mention
that he fought people that were so underrated.
Well, listen, here's two things. All the guys are saying he was underrated. Well, why didn't you overrate him then? Or rate him? You the guys are writing. But Larry Holmes was the first heavyweight champion to lose to a light heavyweight. And Spinks beat him twice. Beat him back to back. You know what I mean?
And, Doc, this is where I put – now, let me tell you something about the respect that I have for Eddie Mustafa Muhammad, okay? When I see someone like Eddie Mustafa Muhammad,
it says a lot about you, Pete. That you recognize one of the great light heavyweights, and one of the very underrated fighters.
Very underrated.
He comes from Brownsville.
And I'll tell you why.
He comes from Brownsville, where Brownsville has the only place that has five heavyweight champions come from him: Floyd Patterson, Tyson, Witherspoon, Shannon Briggs, and Big Daddy Bo. You also have Eddie Mustafa Muhammad, Mark Greenland, gold medal winner, and the great second base for the Yankees, Willie Randolph, Lloyd Will Be Free, just a great Fly Williams. But when you talk about, go ahead, Pete.
So, as far as Eddie Mustafa's career goes, when I watched Eddie Mustafa Muhammad win the title from Marvin Johnson in 1980, all right, was watching that fight a couple of days ago, actually, was watching that fight as well as today. And I got to tell you, Eddie Mustafa Muhammad, even though he lost to Michael Spinks, Eddie Mustafa is a fighter. He has tremendous skill and charisma in the ring. And that's what makes him such a great, in my opinion, Doc, I'm going to classify Eddie as great.
Well, if you put the tag on him, he's one of the great light heavyweights, one of the hardest hitting light heavyweights, and he's a guy whose career was circumvented with a lot of politics. There was some shenanigans going on with that Sphinx fight. There was talk that the scale and stuff like that. But he was a great champion. He started out as Eddie the Flame Gregory.
Yeah.
I remember when he started out, Eddie the Flame Gregory.
Yeah.
And a long time friend. He told me a great story about Muhammad Ali. You know? They were both two guys who got into Islam. They were Islam as young women. People in his family in Islam. And Ali was against Islam back in high school. And he told the story of Ali calling him and saying, Eddie, listen, man, what are you doing Thursday? I'm not going to the chair. Okay, here's the airport. I just bought a plane. And he says, okay, well, champ, what do I need to bring? Ali told him, just bring a toothbrush. Back then, it wasn't that bad. Little PDC, I know you got to run soon, Pete, so if you got to go, we'll come back tomorrow.
I do want to make one more statement, Doc.
Go ahead, Pete. Do, baby.
And it's regarding the light heavyweight championship of the world. When I saw Dwight Muhammad Kawi win, and I got to tell you, Dwight, underrated fighter, and while he was a smaller fighter, he was definitely a great fighter who put it all in the ring. And I was actually watching Larry
Holmes. Doesn't he remind you, with his stature and way he fought, of a lot of Mike Tyson?
Oh, yeah. Smaller light heavyweight, but still did tremendously well for himself. He finished with a record of 41-11.
A great light heavyweight.
Well, Dwight's record, you know, it was 41-11, but we have to look at the quality of opponents that he fought. Fought some great guys, you know, and the bottom line is that I classify him as very, very, very good fighter. Maybe even great.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, it says a lot about you. Yeah. And your family, first of all, about the kind of person, but the kind of research that you're doing to come up with your family, great guys, great job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, Doc. Well, I got to run.
I do want to tell you
that we have to do a show with some boxers, get them on here and pay tribute. And what I want to do is I want to make a show tributed to the great Muhammad Ali for what he did for the sport. Especially all the contributions outside of the ring as well as his greatness inside of the ring. I want to make a show dedicated to the great Muhammad Ali.
I like that. We'll do that. In fact, his birthday passed on. We'll do that down the line.
Oh, yeah. We'll make one for the great Muhammad Ali. Make one for Joe Frazier. We'll dedicate the show to some fighters. But, yeah. All right, Doc.
Thanks, Pete.
All right, Doc. Pleasure being on the show, Doc.
Pete, the honor is always mine. Love you. Take care now.
Love you, Doc.
I know you do, baby. Ditto. Doc Stanley, Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio, Trust Go Network, Little Pete. Dr. King says something. He says, you know, I want there a time where the people who judge my children by the content of their character, not by the complexion of their skin. And Pete, Little Pete, comes from an Italian family, and they just, you know, the parents, the grandparents, you know, lovely mother Dina, great dad G-Dub, you know, like they are people who are like that. The world was full of his family people, man. As Sam Cooke was singing that song, "What a Wonderful World It Would Be," man. They, you know, he calls me redundantly, "Doc this, Doc that." You know, remember they had a Christmas. "Hey, Doc, man, family looking for coming up for Christmas, man." And I came up there, and I walked in, and it was just like, "Oh, hey, Doc, how you doing?" You know, "Hey, Doc, how you feeling?" "Hey, Doc," you know, I wasn't a distraction. I wasn't place. I wasn't a foreigner. You know, I was, moments like that, you get a remote concept of heaven's going to be like. When people just say, "Man, it's just there, man." And every now and then, Mike would come over and, "Hey, there's all your boom." Somebody else, always somebody else, "Hey, his dad's got me in the back talking to football." His mom's, "Hey, Doc, where you been?" It's like the Ruggiero family. Yeah, I think so much about the late Marie, who passed away this year now as well. And she was the first person to ever send me a Thanksgiving card, and I met her at a fair. Dr. Stanley posted that blog, Dr. Randall Thanksgiving at a Leo Neiman was unveiling the picture did of Roy Jones Jr. that Roy's managers, twins and the lawyers. And I remember Lynn Quayle said, you know, they got a good deal on that. And so it was, in fact, I remember this thing because it was the day that the Yankees did the only Negro League affair, and the great Art Russ Jr., the late great Art Russ Jr., who introduced me to Joe DiMaggio, whom Mr. DiMaggio befriended me because of Art. I remember, never forget it, meeting him. And Joe, this is Stanley, my Dr. Stanley. And when Mr. DiMaggio was leading after doing a interview with Art, he stopped and said, "Hey, it was very nice to meet you." Joseph Paul DiMaggio, all of them brothers had his middle name because it was their father's favorite team. Joseph Paul DiMaggio, Dominic Paul DiMaggio, Vince Paul DiMaggio, the late great Bert Sugar, boxing aficionado, and a friend of mine too. Why I think of how blessed I've been by God, you know, starting with this woman here. I'm dedicating the show to my mother,
Just the blessings, man. Art, Joe DiMaggio, the people I met, Bert Sugar, Leroy Neiman. I remember had a fight in the next city. I'm sitting next to Bert, so I'm sitting ringside. As manager, we tunneled our way to the front end. I'm sitting next to one of the legendary figures in boxing. And I get up, decide to go speak to somebody in between fights or something. When I come back, there's somebody sitting in my seat. And as I get closer, I look. It's Joe DiMaggio. Joe DiMaggio has come ringside to talk to Bert and sat in my seat. And, of course, he could have the seat back and sat behind me just some of the many blessings and memories of the great Joe DiMaggio. Wow. What a great player. Joe DiMaggio struck out 39 times his first year in the big leagues. He never struck out that many times again in his baseball career. There was 5 seasons where Joe DiMaggio had more home runs than he had strikeouts. The all-time greatest center fielder for the Yankees. You know, when they put a center fielder, he's out in center now. Babe is in right, so you can stick Mantle or Dave Winfield on left. I think that all-time left fielder was Dave Winfield. Joe DiMaggio in center field, Babe Ruth in outfield. That's a heck of an outfield. I said, so everybody, you know, ironically enough, Winfield's the only one with 3,000 hits because you only paid 13 years. And Babe never, I'm probably a little bit, Babe had those first 2 years where he pitched. But I'm surprised he didn't get 3,000 hits. Gehrig was right near there, you know, so he passed on. And, wow. The two biggest idols and heroes that Joe DiMaggio had, Lou Gehrig, who he played with, and his favorite fighter and boxer, Muhammad Ali. Dr. Stanley Sports and that Blog Talk Radio Nutrition Cover Network. Play a little more music for you, but this show is dedicated to my mother, Vivian, Pauline, Howard, Stanley, and keeping with gospel music, Mommy. The song that you taught me, I'm going to play a little bit, so, you know, I was going, you know, one girl told me one time, she said, you know, Melvin, you don't love nobody but your mother, you know. Forever. Forever I will. Just every day. And one of the songs that my mother taught me was this one here. Praise the Lord Jesus. Josh Tim, sports in the Blog Talk Radio. Justin God.
A Rádio Pajeú é o mundo todo. Fala, Stanley, direto dos Estados Unidos.
Meu nome é Doug Stanley.
Meu nome é Doug Stanley.
E eu moro em Nova York.
Eu moro em Nova York.
Nos Estados Unidos.
Nos Estados Unidos.
E estou ouvindo Radio Web Pajeú.
Estou ouvindo a Rádio Web Pajeú.
Um abraço.
Um abraço.
Hugs. God bless you.
Deus abençoe você.
Eita, menino, quer dizer que agora é internacional, é?
Yes. Ué.
Your show is dedicated to Mrs. Vivian Pauline Howard Stanley, a mother and salute Dusty Baker. Well, I remember Little League, when they came out and we played. We played every Saturday and every night, and then we had a Tuesday or Thursday game. You have to get me. Got Lincoln Terrace here in New York. I was an all-white Jewish neighbor, come to think of it. And there's a remark about how the kids all got along. Jewish neighbor, because the way they dressed, they didn't dress that way. It would just been, the kids that other looks. And then she came to the game, and I got up, and I made it out the first time. And then she had to leave to get back to a cook. Look, just after I hit a double, she was gone. Then she liked about this way the pictures would say, can you just come up there and check it to me, babe? Check it to me, babe. Come, check it to me, babe. 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 My dad took her to a giant game. And she, Willie Mays fan. And Willie Mays, Ali, and the Williams sisters, Serena and Venus. Remember, I didn't think I'd see a black president. I know my mother did. I remember we went back to inauguration, went to another sat there and watched it together, had it hair done and dressed on, and dressed. And the night that Serena and Venus played first prime time women's finals. And I remarked that I was two black girls from Compton who had saw come to the biggest fair they had at the Rockefeller Center. Tennis coordinator out there. They talked to Venus, but the father said that Serena is going to be the better of the two. So it's like, black Maserati and the blue one. And, I think it's in my mama. I guess in my mama, I know it's, for the tennis player. Mama comes first, And the Bible says, you first seeking the kingdom of heaven. Everything will fall before you. So I go over there and I walk in. My mama with the tennis match at the barn. She knew the significance and importance of that moment in tennis history, back history, American history. She died of me, and I was just so moved and, immensely proud of this woman. It was all your mothers. Came to the game room. Monster told me things like, don't ever let anybody be nicer to you than what you are to them. I remember, because kids don't give a damn. Well, as you say, kids don't give a fuck. So, when you go out to the carousel, they don't say anything about that pink horse or the white horse or the black horse or the blue horse. It's the horse. As you say, she said, in the wintertime, what the horse is doing in the wintertime, all covered up. And, I had a friend in my class, it's really fifth grade, Benjamin from California. California, too, have had a more relaxed attitude. People sometimes mistake the Californians or the people of the South thinking they're more hesitant in situations of equality. Racial justice. And blonde-haired, from California. This day he went over and said, "Yeah, because yo, it's like, you know, it's like a little thing." So, he put me hot chocolate. Went home to my mother. The mom said, "Yo, you know what I'm saying? Baby, you're hot chocolate." We ain't get busted. What are you concerned about?
Here come the fuzz. Hey, Bird, what color was you
talking about? Because you were talking about this today. I got my ticket, Lloyd. That was a line like, "Trust in God, now I had 100%. Always is his mouth creel." My important says that, you know, Doc, I had it. The Pope says, the Dalai Lama says, it don't sound right unless you say it. Trust in God. And I had this sermon in the came. Send me on the, I'll tell you how it was, it's $20 for a trip to Washington. Round trip, bus finished up at the school, brought it back to the school, Legend Boys High School, okay? We got there Friday night, had dinner, stayed in the hotel, out for breakfast, on a little part of something. I'm all right, maybe just run my mouth. Give me a minute. First love. On this earth, great love. You got a mama like that. Everybody didn't have a great mama. I guess you gotta have a great mama. Remember, mommy, this is Living Pauline Howard Stanton. And as you remember, the trip, Mr. Delpin, who honored me by giving me a, Mr. Delpin told us to go. First day of school, first day in you know, my last senior year in social studies, was always a good study. He said, "Okay, I want all you guys to go home tonight, memorize the presidents, and come back tomorrow." Wow. See, I tell you, I had a memory. I memorized them all. I memorized them all. And, you know, she said, "Okay, Wilson, president," she says, "Fred Washington, John Adams, Abraham Lincoln, Samson." "Okay, Harrison, Abraham Lincoln, John Kennedy, sit down, son. Stanley," I went, you know. And name the parties too. George Washington, boom. John Adams, boom. Thomas Jefferson, boom. John Quincy Adams, boom. Stanley, sit down. Stanley said, you got an A for the first marking period. And I was expecting, you know, he turns to the New York Times. You know, they used to sell the Times like I quartered in. And but at the end of the day, I would take him and go around the different classes and teachers would buy him. Because you Mr. Delpin, they would sell it for a nickel. So, you know, they would buy it. Here's, you know, now it's a nickel. So a lot of teachers would wait until, you know, Mr. Delpin had me go around and sell it. And one of the blessings of my life was him. And he gave me an award that I got in graduation. I got out of high school at 17, graduated at 18, because we got out the early part of June, graduation later. And I know there had to be a proud moment for my mother and my father, you know. And they called in for the Social Studies Achievement Award, Melvin Stanley, you know, and there I was, you know, sitting on the stage with all the guys. That's the only award I got. Other guys said, "Move," but there I was, you know, Mr. Joseph Delpin. Got Italian link, like Lou Pete and them, you know what I mean? Now, judging by the content of your character, not by the complexion of your skin, but my mom was there, so proud. Boys High School, incidentally, for you all. Boys High School produced the great Connie Hawkins, considered by many the greatest high school basketball player ever. Racism, politics screwed him, and the scandal he had nothing to do with. I'll tell you how renowned Boys High School. Lenny Wilkins graduated from Boys High School. Okay, he went to the pros. Okay, Tommy Davis, who a lot of people thought she went to basketball. Connie Hawkins. Tommy Davis is back-to-back batting champion, first black man to win the batting title, back-to-back lead the league in hits and RBIs. I mean, hits. Cy Hugo Green,
You say, who's Cy Hugo Green? Cy Hugo Green was the number one draft pick in the same draft that had Bill Russell. Enough said. The number one draft pick in the draft pick that had Bill Russell. That tells you who Cy Hugo Green was, and that tells you about Boys High School. The legendary Boys High School. Now it's Boys and Girls. But Ricky Free, one of the great basketball players, came out of that. Pearl Washington. Free, I was attached to my beloved cousin. I just didn't know he was that great of a player. And, it's sad that, how people communicate. I read about it in the papers, and I remember my cousin Sylvia, late cousin Sylvia, said, dang, I didn't think it'd come to all of this. All-American out of Columbia. Won the Deppardan Classic. But he was a scholar, too. Now, Ricky wasn't just about basketball. He was that David Robinson, who else in the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar type of student, man. Academics and sports. They're leading both of them. Very proud of my cousin. I haven't talked to him in a while. Ray Ricky Free, full scholarship to Columbia. Stayed home. Wow. Boxing, he wasn't there. Blocked up really, the Trustmere Network. And we, Lou Pete got on, talked a little boxing for us. We're going to play a little more music. And we talked about the Astros and Dusty Baker. Dusty has come a long way. His friend, George Santiago, who's one of the executives in baseball, and in baseball, should find a place for Dusty. As I said, Dusty's itinerary is just extensive. First NL MVP playoff winner, the fourth man, the Major Dodgers' first team to have four players with 30 home runs in one season. On deck, when Hank Aaron hit number 715, brought about the high five in baseball. Only managed to take five different teams to the playoffs, okay? Oldest manager to win the World Series. Only black manager to win 2,000 games. One of the few managers to win the pennant in both the American League and the National League. And the only manager that Justin Verlander won a World Series game for in the World Series. And the collage has Dusty Alvarez, who carried them, icing on the cake. He hit the home run against Seattle that had a come-behind win against Seattle. That finished him. Then he hit the home run, come-behind home run against the Phillies that iced the World Series. And, because last year he had a great playoff and fizzled in the World Series. But Dusty said hit that ball to the moon. Yeah. Well, talking to my buddy down the line, his birthday is the same one as mine, day before Roberto Duran. Another blessing in my life, Roberto Duran. I remember we had a fair one time, and I said hi to him, and he pointed out to the crowd, that's my friend. More important is that, you really feel good when the people you admire and respect feel the same way about you. Yeah, nobody like me. Duran is proud to call me a friend. Remind me of Chito Trinidad. Hadn't seen Chito in a long time. I'm coming down the steps the garden to go to the front. There he is. Hey, Chito, how are you doing? He's the other way. My friend. So along the line, I know they got to see the God in Christ in me, because that's all it can be. Nothing special about me. Dr. Stanley wasn't there, Blog Talk Radio. On the Trust in God Radio Network, wherever I be, I just gotta be me. My grace of God.
Whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, whether I find a place in this world or never belong, I gotta be me. Can I be but what I am?
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to see if I can get my sister to join me for a minute or two, and we'll talk about my mom's. I can get her. So we'll play a little music for you. Kurt Whelan, What I Do. and Layla Hathaway.
Yes, I know all there is to ever know, where you've been and where you'll ever go, all your mistakes from yesterday, and the ones you'll make tomorrow. You've been trying so hard to comprehend what kind of love could cover all that sin. Just know there's nothing bother asking how it's possible to love someone like you. It's 'cause you're mine. It's 'cause you're you. It's 'cause I'm loved. It's what I do. Pure, yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't know. Not in a certain way. I'm sorry. I do even look better than that. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Mike Bellamy. Hmm.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Then we continue, as I said, we dedicated this show to my mother and my twin sister. I'm going to have her call in and she's talking. I mean, she had the great line. I there's so many memories you have, but I remember during my mother's passing, I'm trying to get this here real quick so I can have this. Okay, the truth is going to do me loop back. Spent the night there, and I woke up in the morning. First thing was to tell her was on a knee sprain. On my knee sprain, my daughter, and then I remember she said something that's right. We had the best mom, best mother. Yeah, that's true. And Helen's one of the best sisters, the best sister ever. Big sis, how you doing, girl?
Fine. How are you?
I'm done now. We're just, we're just doing the show, mommy. Now, it's 10 months since mommy passed. I remember she used to say sometimes, Melvin used to hit from one just a hat rack. But I just wanted to show this, happy to have you on the show here and, what you've been, the sister, the deep love for you. And, just a couple of words about, about our mom. I remember the line you said, mom, best mom ever, Cornerstone, member of Cornerstone for 66 years. Wow, man, you know what I mean? Some of your thoughts about mommy, Helen.
What can I say? We had the best mom ever.
That's the line
best
you said.
Mom
we had
ever.
The best mom. Yeah. I just remember that, man. Sunday school. We had a great family, the Howard family down there in Virginia. Our cousins and them too,
Yeah, mommy was the matron of everything.
Yeah, well, your mommy had told me that when grandma passed. She was the one that, that took over. And I remember that she said a lot of people thought that our Aunt Kania was her child because she had her all the time. And then I remember Aunt Kania said when she grew up, she didn't know nothing about her mother until they told her because she thought mommy was her mother.
Yeah, she was young when our grandmother died, when her mother died. So she ain't know nobody but mommy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And her Uncle John, Uncle Paul, and came to New York, Brooklyn, those years at the Brooklyn Jewish Hospital, Helen.
Yeah, I tell you. Who didn't love mommy?
Yeah, Miss everybody in the neighborhood, that's right, Mrs. Stanley. Mommy, she said the thing that she was so proud of was starting a prayer group at Brooklyn Jewish Hospital. That was her, she started that. I remember they had that affair for a snowy day. And went over there just. And then all the kids in the neighborhood knew her. But I remember, it's funny. Doc Stanley was that block talk radio. Trust in God. Never remembering mommy, Mrs. Vivian, Pauline Stanley. And salute my dear friend, the great Dusty Baker. I remember, though, you and mommy look so much alike, Helen, that they'll be coming down the street and people will see you and say, hi, Mrs. Stanley. And you would just wave. And sometimes they see mommy, how you doing, Helen? How you doing?
Yeah, I remember that, too, answering the phone. They say, hi, Miss Stanley. I said, I'm sorry, this is not Miss Stanley. This is Miss Stanley's daughter. Let me go get her.
Yeah, it sounded, man, And it's funny because, Jane sounded a lot like me. I remember my friend's sister. She said that she was like to me, but she was, hey, Dad, how you come by and everything? You didn't call this day. I remember coming to the phone, Jane, oh, man, I'm glad you came. She said, think I'm you, what I mean? But, yeah, I remember, man, you used to say that, man. It was, hey, how you doing, Helen? It'd be mommy. How you doing, Mr. Stanley? It'd be you. But, and then, we look at the great neighbors we had, too. Wallace next door.
Aunt Hester.
Buddy and Thelma upstairs. The old hands downstairs, But, mommy, Mommy, you know, about being on time, you know, and you told me something that was really remarkable, that, you know, Mommy never wore makeup or lipstick, you know?
That's right, never.
Well, she didn't need it because...
No, Mommy was a natural beauty.
Well, like you. But, you know, a lot of that, too, Helen, came from the fact that Mommy came in that Pentecostal faith, remember?
Yeah, and they didn't wear no makeup and lipstick and stuff like that, so that kind of grew on Mommy.
Yeah, but you know what's too is that it was, I think about it, Dr. Sandy Sports and that Blog Talk Radio, Justin Governor Network, the greatest sister in the world. We had the greatest mother in the world, big sis. You know, it was funny how I thought about it. Mommy went to Pentecostal church, but went to Catholic school. Grandma sent her to Catholic school, and she always wanted to go to Third Baptist. You know, Mommy told me, you know, she knew how to drive a stick shift truck about 8, 9 years old. You know, she was 10 years, you know, they had to put the seats in there, but she knew how to drive. She wanted to be a teacher. But I just think about that, you know, Catholic school, Pentecostal, you know what I mean, grandma, full-blooded Cherokee Indian, great-grandfather, granddaddy's dad, full-blood Blackfoot. And, you know, just like, yeah, like you said, Mommy with no, you know, lipstick and stuff. And, you know, because actually, you know, it's not made for us anyway, you know, lipstick ain't made for us. We don't need it. You know, it's your beauty. But, yeah, but I remember you told me, your Mommy never went lipstick makeup. But like I said, you know, in church, her and Naomi, tremendous piano players, remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they had a lot of talent. But, you know, when Mommy had us young and then, you know, she got married, then she had us, and then Mommy's life was on hold because, I tell you, she focused on us. Trust me. Her life.
Yeah, well, Uncle Nia said that. Uncle Nia said that, you know, and only that, the fact that, you know, when she passed, she had insurance policies, my Social Security card, the little one that you found for me. But her and Anemi, tremendous piano players. I know, I'm surprised she never taught us piano, but, you know, it was a situation where, you know, back and forth busy. You know, she came from Virginia, so New York was a whole. You know, I thought about that, too, Helen. Dr. Stanley Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and God Network. Remembering my mother, Mrs. Vivian Pauline Howard Stanley. You know, she's the only one of her sisters and brothers that came to New York. And you're right, because Grandma passed when Mommy was 18. And when Mommy got married, she told Daddy, well, you know, I'm not leaving until, you know, I help my mother here. And, you know, my grandma, you know, who eventually passed on. And then she came to New York. Is look at how tuberculosis was the cause. But, you know, nowadays, man, tuberculosis ain't no problem at all, you know?
No, not compared to whatever else they got out here.
Yeah. And then I remember that back room that they built for Grandma because she needed her own special room. Now you just sleep in that room. And I think, can they used to say now and then she'd be sleeping, she'd see somebody tucking them in bed. That's Grandma. Tucking them in bed, you know. But Mommy had that temper like a mother, too. Mommy tell you to move, but you better move.
Tear your butt up.
Yeah, but she
Mommy didn't
say,
play.
Mother,
I used to cry. She said, Helen, save them tears for when they get on you. I be boo-hooing, thinking she's going to save me. I ain't going to get no beating. Mommy tore my butt up. She told me save them tears.
And you know what she'd do, too? She would, you know, come and let Mom, didn't I tell you to come in 15 minutes ago? Okay, when I beat you, I'm going to beat you for that. You know what I mean? And then, Melvin, you got to church late? Okay. When I beat you, are you upset at school? Okay. And when she beat you, she bring all that stuff up. Uh-huh. So you come up, but you came up late on site. But hey, got to Sunday school later. Huh? And when she beat you, you know, she said, you be dad. Man, she remember everything. You remember everything, you know?
You know, Wallace knocked on that door to see if everything was all right. She said, Stanley, everything okay over here? She said, yeah, Wallace, everything. Hey, can the kids come over and keep Clancy company?
she would let us go. I remember, too, one time me and you, she thought we had touched up, man. She hit us. She said, oh, wait a minute, baby, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. You're like greatest mom ever, you know, near you. Same birthday, or James, Teresa. Mom said she lost two kids in between that would have been a boy and a girl. Lost a boy between James and Teresa, who's the last baby. The spoiled one, huh, Teresa? The spoiled one, Helen?
Yeah, and we helped spoil her too.
yeah, she's a baby girl. Yeah, you too. She's a baby girl, you know. Baby girl. Yeah. Doc Stanley Sports and that Block Talk Radio, Trust and God Network. Got my twin sister here, you know, Helen, talking about, remember my mother, Mrs. Vivian Pauline Howard Stanley. 56 years at Cornerstone Baptist Church, 72 years in the same apartment. And, man, everybody knew Mommy. I was a little upset when I found out that the bus could have came down. The bus coming back, I know, going to Fulton Street, but I think Miss Vixen fought against it. But I just thought about how nice that would have been for Mommy, because the Mommy could have just looked out the window and saw the bus coming, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, that's a story that I heard, you know. But, yeah. So I accidentally posted the Blog Talk Radio and Trust and Now, her famous line, Helen, my ticket to glory.
Oh, yeah, she wasn't, yeah, she said she got her ticket signed for glory. She's not uneasy about her soul.
What were some of her favorite songs, Helen?
Blessed Assurance. That was her favorite song, Blessed Assurance. And her favorite scripture was John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes him should not perish but have everlasting life. Yeah, Blessed Assurance was her favorite song. And you know they played that song on Mommy's Homegoing.
Oh, yeah. Blessed Assurance was her favorite song,
and John 3:16 was her favorite Bible verse.
Oh, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. I remember shit because she named me. Well, she didn't name me. Daddy named me after his best friend. But Teresa was the one that she named. She named you Helen.
She named me after Daddy's mother.
Exactly. And your middle name,
Sylvia,
is
after Teresa,
cousin Sylvia.
Because Teresa looked just like her.
That's what I said. I don't know if that's it. Teresa looked just like her, but she named.
And then she named me after cousin Sylvia.
Yeah. Cousin Sylvia didn't know that, but I told her that when she was in hospital. She said, "What?" I said, "You name," because they spent that first year, living in Manhattan with Sylvia and them. Yeah, cousin Sylvia. And Doc Stanley, Sports and Their Blog Talk Radio, Trust Good Area. Remember my mother and saluting the great Dusty Baker. You know, two of the great human beings that ever walked the earth. And it's Sports and Death, and we're talking about my moms and with my dear sister Helen. And wow. You know, you just look back at now. Let's see, the baby girl is Kenia, Uncle John. Yeah, and you know, Mommy was like Jamaica Knock. You know, she was the one. And as you look, as we took the pictures later on, she was the shortest one, but she was the biggest one. She's the one everybody listened to. Everybody, you know, hold on, look at this plug.
This
video.
Is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
And we're dedicating this show to my mother, Vivian Pauline Howard Stanley, and we'll always love my mama. That's been our theme for this show, along with remembering Dusty Baker. I have him here. His mother passed away shortly after my mother, and he talked about how, you know, you Helen, you know, you're kind of selfish. You don't want to see him go, but at the same time, you don't want to see him suffer. You know, because it was at this time last year, but Mommy went to the hospital. Remember?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, she had a real good hospital plan, though, man. Because I remember she was in a good hospital room, and then they put her in a better hospital room, man. What was that? The KK5? That was the name of KK5. KK5. Remember, I'd come home from the military, and I'd go visit, and I'd go ride back with her. She treated me. Yeah. Wow. You look just like her then. Other special thoughts and memories, Helen? I know you probably give everyone a real one.
About what? Mommy?
Yeah. I remember, man.
She'll look here. Mommy's spirit will be here forever. Mommy has touched so many people's lives in so many ways. We'll never, ever forget her. They'll never, ever forget her.
Yeah. Yeah, and then
he was the greatest. Mommy was the best.
Ali, yeah, I remember you. Man, she always had you and Helen. Well, you for long, you was a little girl. You was a little because Teresa came 10 years after you, so
So mom, you had met Easter, man, and then she you know, it worked out for her that she would get Thanksgiving just about every now and then because she would have to work at the hospital. That being a Thursday, she'd be off at Thanksgiving. Then I remember the last day. I remember when I came home in 67 from tech school. I know you were so upset you guys were going to come home sooner. But that was the last thing when I dumped you, remember?
Yeah.
When she came home? Yeah. And then I think you said when I was gone, they had them. On Mel over there, Mel thought somebody stole her pocketbook.
She said, she told somebody stole her pocketbook. She said, go, I come over here and somebody stole, she said, ain't nobody stole your pocketbook. Your pocketbook right there on the chair, Mel. Go look over there.
Yeah. And she said, she told mommy there was something wrong with her, tell her?
She said, look here. She said, go, something wrong with these babies. You need to take them out a little more. Something wrong with them. Something wrong with these children.
Mm-mm.
They need to get out a little more.
Mm-hmm. Mel
was something, honey.
Well, I remember, hey, Mel. You know, I found it on Mel. She said, she and Cousin Augie, and we had a great family. She said, they love my man. She said, you know, Cousin don't go to church anymore like she used to. I said, what? She said, yeah, Cousin used to sing in the choir. I said, what? So I said, Mel, did you ever sing in the choir? And Mel said, no. So why, Mel? And Mel said, I can't sing.
Hey, Mel was something.
But you know what I found out, too? Daddy told me, you know, Aunt Mel was named after Father's favorite horse.
He told me.
Yeah, Mel. Daddy told you, too?
No, you told me.
Oh, yeah. Mel was named after a man. That's the thing he's supposed to be about the great attention government. I was trying to see if I could catch it with somebody else to jump in for a minute. But I guess, I don't know. I don't think James would want to say anything, huh?
No, but let's not go there.
Yeah. You can say it on there, man. Nigga, you can say that guy. He can say, hey, yeah. I was trying to catch the Bible Lee for a minute, see if he's joining us, though. Don't move, sis. I'll be right back. I'm going to catch him for a minute. Okay, looking for, but I thought we had a longer run on. Wow. I always love my mama, but okay, it ran out long. It's gone that long, huh? Doc Stanley's posting that Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Government Network. Remember my mother, Sports and Death, remembering Mommy, Mrs. Vivian Pauline, Howard Stanley, and saluting the great Dusty Baker. And there's a ride, because Dusty passed away a few days after my mom's. You know, and you talked about how, you know, you selfishly want to see him stay, and then at the same time, you don't want to see him suffer. My mother, the two great piano players, was my mom's and my aunt Nee, man. Naomi used to come up. The Howard Spirit New Lady was a son. Naomi came up looking for a job and went to a fish market and just told them that they needed somebody there to handle the money. And she got the job. She got the money, got the job. and we got fish every day for the whole week, man, you know. Numi, Howard, Pate, and my cousin, her ace nephew, and her first son, my mom's ace nephew, Colonel Robert L. Pate Jr. If you haven't heard the name historically, it's a name of African-American history. It's a name of military history. It's a name of Howard history. It's a name of Pate history. Robert L. Pate Jr., Bobby Lee, come here, Bobby Lee, was the first black commander of the JSC unit in the history of the United States. That's the unit that the Air Force came out. He was the first black commander, okay, and made colonel. Should have two stars on him, but that's my cousin. Cuz, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, cuz. How you doing?
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us here. I'm going to hold on, but just, you know, some memories here of Aunt Vivian. I mean, I just remember, she said, you can always come to New York. You can stay. I remember we were talking to cousin. They said, because you want to go back to Virginia? He said, no, I don't want to go back. I said, well, what about your brother? Well, I said, they didn't come to New York and visit me. But ladies and gentlemen, we are privileged to have Robert L. Pate Jr., the first black commander of the JCSC unit in the history of the United States military. And his dad did a career in the Navy, and his Uncle John did a career in the Army, and Uncle Paul, you know, I didn't realize he worked under the Air Force, Bob, but he made tech sergeant in 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah, wow, and check this out, Bob. He talked Uncle John into staying, and he didn't stay. He didn't stay, you know. Yeah, he had a good gig. He was an Army guy, but with the Air Force. So that was a great situation because you can make rank better in the Army than you can in the Air Force. But Bob, let's just talk about Aunt Viv for a minute or two here. This is, you know, remember her. This is now 10 months since her, as your brother Rich had transitioned on, you know, Howard's.
Yeah.
I remember, and the granddad used to say, when the guys would come visit him and start dating, mommy and him, she's telling you, if you think, I think my daughter's so good for you, you're right.
Well, for Aunt Vivian, they were absolutely. Granted, our grandfather was absolutely right. It seemed like I've known Aunt Vivian all my life, but I distinctly remember her when I was about maybe 6 or 7 years old, and she said, you know, Bobby Lee, you seem like you a good little boy and well behaved. And I think I'm gonna let your mom allow you to come to New York with us. You know. And I was like, yes, ma'am. I'm happy to go to New York. And I think the next year, and when I was about 8 years old, they allowed me to come to New York by myself and stay with you know, Melvin. Melvin was transitioning back from his Air Force duty.
Air Force.
Back home, and I was just 8 years old from Chesapeake, Virginia, hanging out in Brooklyn, New York, with Aunt Vivian. And the biggest thing I remember, even as 8 years old, Aunt Vivian was even then just a staple in the neighborhood. We would come up there every summer. Aunt Vivian allowed me to come up every summer just about and stay. And on one particular summer, I don't know if you know this story, Melvin, but my dad drove us up to New York. My mom, my dad, my brother Reginald, my brother Tim, and our baby brother was Nick at the time. I think he was probably 4 years old. We drove up, great anticipation to see Aunt Vivian and everybody, Helen, my cousins. And we offloaded, you know, all the luggage. We had to take them up this street. She lived on the third floor in her apartment.
Right.
On Syracuse Avenue. And we got all the luggage up there. And my mom says, you know, well, where is Nick, the baby? He's 4 years old. Where is Nick? And we're all looking around, and we can't find Nick. Nobody. No, we were so focused on getting the luggage and getting the hugs and everything that we literally lost Nick. And so there's a slight panic by my mom, and she's like, hey, where's my baby? And I will tell you, we started looking for her, but Aunt Vivian literally mobilized the whole neighborhood, about 2-3 blocks of people, all out looking for my brother Nick. And we took about 45 minutes. And the police car drove up to my aunt's house. My brother Nick, 4 years old, was sitting in the back. They had given him a Sprite. No, I take it back, a 7-Up soda. He's sitting there drinking it. And he just said he was just going home. And they found him about 4 blocks away, and he was just walking. But Aunt Vivian, her character, her place, her as a staple in the neighborhood, she called all the people, and she had the whole block from Cypressen, Reed, all that whole corner looking for my brother. And I said, man, she mobilized. You know, in the Army, we said we mobilized forces. She mobilized forces right then to help, you know, find my brother who was you know, lost in New York, Brooklyn, New York, at 4 years old. As a man,
being in the neighborhood, but he wasn't lost. He was just simply misplaced.
That's all. Yes. And I'll say this, and I'm probably remiss for not saying it. The first thing that we did before we got everybody mobilized was pray. And I and my mom and everybody, we prayed about that whole situation. And, you know, we got to see prayer work that day, you know. You know, the police brought him home in the back of the car. He was 4 years old drinking a 7-Up, you know. So Aunt Vivian is just special to the whole family, not just her immediate family, but the whole Howard family. She's
special. The Howard family, you know, a funeral that was – people in Trinidad, the Amalites, just said, I know you got to run, Cuz, I ain't going to hold you, but I thank you for joining us. I'll get back to you later. We're going to give good well wishes to you, too. Cuz had a procedure a couple of weeks ago. But so we here as a Sports and Death Nation, as Rooney says, across the world. Keep them in your prayers. But you're listening to Military Black Virginia Howard Bethay Stanley Hits, the first black commander in the history of the United States military. And he can ball a little bit. He got some balls to him, too. He can go to the hoop. And not only that, because a first line observer of the real Dr. J.
Ah, that's right. That's right. Every Thursday night in the Scope in Norfolk, Virginia, we would go and see the Virginia Squires play headlining by Dr. Julius J. Irving.
And you can't leave off Fatty Taylor, baby. Fatty Taylor.
That's right.
Gary
Manning. Right.
Man.
And the Iceman.
Iceman. Charlie Scott. Man, you know it. I asked Jordan McGinnis, what was the difference between NBA and ABA? He said CBS, baby. CBS.
Yeah.
Okay, Colonel, I know you got to run. I want to thank you for joining us down the line.
I appreciate it. Hey, cuz, thanks. I appreciate it. Y'all be blessed.
We were having you in the family, and you joined us. Ladies and gentlemen, history, baby, the first ever African-American, black, Negro. You know, ABCD, put it the way you want. You know, man, color of complexion, okay, you know what I mean? Commander of the JCHA, and he was doing a colonel's job as a light colonel, you know, which helped him get in the Pentagon. Because I could do a whole show on you alone, baby. Trust in God. Thank you, baby. And he's left. My cousin Marvin Gaye has this to say before we all go on our way. Mr. Gaye.
I just want to ask the question, who really cares? Save a world in despair, Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time
when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to please die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It feels with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
live. Such a bad way to live.
Who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
But let live, everybody.
Live life for the children. Let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live, you got to save the babies. Oh, the blood of fear. But who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Yeah, to save our world. Yeah, to save our sweet world.
We gotta get a cake, brother. Remember my mom's? Thank my sister Helen, cousin Bob, and remember the great Dustin Baker. Back then, he's posting at Blog Talk Radio, a blessing God Network. End of the show, we gotta go. We can't end without Wine Brothers leading us.
Just look around, love. sharing the load we bear, so we must put our trust. And it seems our world has fallen apart.
Just look up.
Tomorrow's sun.
Tomorrow's sun.
Sister Helen, Cousin Colonel Robert L. Lefay Jr., Posse Member Lou Peters, an in-depth informative education circle look at the world of sports on this his renowned and legendary world-winning radio show, Sports in Depth. Diversity can go for daily history perspective, but it also go for in-depth look, perspective, not only on the sports of our time, but two of the players and performers of the said events, both now and yesteryear. SID also brings us the unique strategies of sports from an intellectual perspective, not just athletics, because as it takes raw God-given talent and conditioning, the two traits of God-blessed mind filled with passion, determination, intellect, and a belief of competing and accomplishing too. And with the in-depth knowledge and diverse intellect of Doc's iconic posse, Sports in Depth is too the world in depth. Thanks for joining us once again, where we rope the rumors, hog tie the issues, rope the rumors, hog tie, and lasso the issues, and bring the truth. This show dedicated to my late beloved mother, Mrs. Vivian Pauline Howard Stanley, whom, as she often said, I got my ticket to glory, and did so on this date 10 months ago. In the words of my beloved sister Helen, we had the best mom ever, best mother ever. Amen. Wanting to know, a need to know, and how, wanting to know, a need to know, and to know is unique triangle of truth. Never heard him raise his voice, yet always clearly and loudly heard. There are people whom you thought you've known for years, and you discover you've barely known them at all. Yet others you've shortly encountered, yet have known them so long, all along. Doc Stanley's words of wisdom and truth, a.k.a. Jewish Luigi, words of wealth. Doc Stanley's Sports and Depth, Blog Talk Radio, and Trust in God Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
And dedicating this show to mother, well, we're going to end it with a song that kind of says it all. I mean, every mother there would think, yeah, I got to play this song. Got to play this song. And, well, it just says it all. Doc Stanley Sports at Blog Talk Radio. On the Trust in God in Network. Trust in God 100%. Mommy, Dusty, love you ever. Trust in God.
Mommy cooked them good home cooked bits today.